Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Psalms. It's chapter 85. Listen to the word of the Lord. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath, and you turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, and his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet righteousness and will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Now, our New Testament lesson actually comes from the chapter 11 of Luke, verses 1 through 13, but I will include passages from our New Testament lesson during my sermon and will not read it currently. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At one level, today's scripture reading focuses on God's bounty and a request for revival that we may live prosperously. As we will see in today's passages from Luke, they serve as a reminder that God is always there to comfort us. But we must seek and abide in his ways. At another level, they remind us of the importance of the meaning of words and the critical importance of acting appropriately in order to follow God's admonitions to us. What are those admonitions? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This morning I'd like to reflect on three questions. One, how has God's bounty affected you? Two, what brings great joy to your life? And three, how can we share God's grace with those around us? How has God's bounty affected you? We do not know the author or the exact background for Psalm 85. However, most scholars believe that it was written just after the Israelites returned from their 75-year exile in Babylon. For many centuries, Assyrian and Babylonian invading armies had wreaked havoc with the people of Israel, destroying their lives, their homes, and their places of worship. After defeating both the Assyrian and Babylonian empire, the Persian leader, Cyrus the Great, victoriously entered the city of Babylon. He found tens of thousands of Israelites living in exile. History teaches us that Cyrus was an enlightened ruler who did not persecute the people he conquered. He has justifiably been called one of the most enlightened rulers in human history. Now, Cyrus is exalted in Judaism for his role in freeing the Jewish people from their Babylonian captivity. He issued an edict of restoration, sometimes described as a return to Zion, and he funded the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem with the Persian treasury. Contrast that with today's conflict between Iran and Israel. It's amazing. The prophet Isaiah believed that God had chosen Cyrus and that he was a true Messiah. That is, someone who is anointed by God. Now, he's the only non-Jewish individual who has been revered in that fashion. Now, one would think that the returning exiles would be overjoyed to be home. And I'm confident that they were. However, having been away for more than seven decades, it's not surprising that Psalm 85 is a request for revival and restoration in Judea and Jerusalem. From the perspective of the Israelites, their return from exile and the rebuilding of their temple through Cyrus's decrees and actions were not instruments of his wishes. They were God's. How lucky they were. Speaking of luck, who would you think is the luckiest person in the Old Testament? Yeah, several come to mind. I'd say Adam and Eve rank right up there. They kicked it all off, you know. And then there another might be Noah. He was pretty lucky. But I'm not sure being cooped up with all those animals for 40 days and 40 nights in the midst of a great flood would be considered lucky. But in the end, he and his family did survive, and we got a rainbow to prove it. How about Moses and his good fortune of being found by a royal princess in the bulrushes? And we all know how that turned out. Let's not abet Abraham and his wife Sarah, who followed a divine commandment to travel to Canaan. In spite of their ages, their offspring would be as countless as the grains of sand found in the Middle Ages. Would you include Joseph in his coat of many colors, who, after being sold into slavery by his brothers, had the good fortune to save his family from starvation? Let's not omit Job and Jonah and his sojourn in the belly of a whale. And, of course, we've got Ruth and Naomi, and clearly the humble shepherd boy David led a charmed life, who rose to power and led his people with remarkable courage and wisdom. In every instance, these individuals had to endure terrible hardships and trouble. Yet, but through God's grace, they were restored. And I am confident that God's restoration will surely be part of our lives. I'm a believer in making lists. I especially like to do it around Thanksgiving, where I provide a ranking and list of all the blessings that God has provided to me and my family. So when you get a little discouraged, stop and count your blessings. Maybe even write them down. And thank God for the good fortune He has provided you. What brings great joy to your life? Here are a few things that come to mind. Family dinners around the table. Having that first sip of coffee or tea in the morning. The smell of freshly cut grass. Blue skies. Meeting a friend for the first time in ages. Feeling the sun on your skin. Taking a moment to be thankful of the present. Realizing that all you've overcome to be where you are today. Seeing others reach their dreams. Warm hugs. Peace. There are common threads that run through these and similar lists. Serenity. Security. Love and well-being. A few days ago, the Eagles' hit song, Peaceful Easy Feeling, came on the radio. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but you know the words. Once some stood out, I get a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down. Are there things in your life that serves as an anchor to your well-being when disappointment, sorrow, and perhaps even tragedies surface? For me, prayer and meditation on the grace of God serve that purpose. Early in Luke 11, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus responds with the words to the Lord's Prayer. We all know that prayer by heart. And we're going to pray it together in a few minutes. For many years, my family and I have gone to Hilton Head in February and March. And one of my favorite things to do while I'm there is to walk along the beach as the sun rises. I look eastward on the horizon, and I'm reminded of the vastness of the ocean, the beauty of the orange, rosy sky and clouds as the sun's golden sphere rises to welcome a new day. I feel the miracle of God's creation as I stroll along and listen to the waves. The walks provide a time for reflection and prayer. And I often reflect on things I need to improve or on personal lapses that require an apology or a specific task to correct a wrong. Obviously, you don't need a sunrise walk on the beach to come to God in prayer. We can reach out anytime, anywhere. In the language of current management, God has an open door policy. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, toward the end of chapter 11, Jesus expands on our relationship with God. He's more than just a friend. Rather, He's our Heavenly Father who will shower us with abundant blessings and infinite love. Prayer is a rock, a cornerstone, if you will, on which we can build and sustain our lives. Recall the words of John that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thanks be to God. How can we share God's grace with others? What can we do to lead our lives so that Christ's teachings flourish in our life? Here's a short but non-inclusive list. Are you cultivating your heart as you would your summer garden? Without irrigation and fertilization, your garden will not flourish. The same is true regarding your soul. Daily prayer is a key. It will bring you closer to God. A continuing effort to expand and enhance your understanding of Christ's teaching will lead to spiritual growth. Consider joining a Bible study, or joining a Sunday school class, or a comparable online effort. The more you know about Christ's teachings, the easier it is to follow in his footsteps. Are you sharing Christ's good news to others as you would the bounty of your garden? One does not need to be a preacher or minister to share the good news. Small things matter. Kind words matter. Kindness often starts with a smile. Send a get well card or a brief note to someone dealing with a health issue. Send a sympathy card to someone who has lost a loved one. Offer a neighbor a ride to church next Sunday. Pray for peace. Stand up for justice. Tell someone who is having a difficult time or has lost faith in God that God loves them. Be a beacon of God's love and bounty. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.